Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, all your beliefs, and of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a good week and a good day. It's a somber day for a lot of reasons. 9/11, 9 years since that happened. But hopefully we can lighten the mood today, talk a little sports, and have a little fun doing it. Today we're expected to be joined by Shane Mosley's trainer, and along with Bernard Hopkins' trainer, actually, Nazim Richardson. Nazim will come on and talk about Mosley's upcoming fight with Sergio Mora, and talk about what's going on in his life and what's going on with this fight, and should be an interesting fight, and it should be a decent fight. And also, we're expected to be joined by Real Deal, Evander Holyfield, who will come on and talk about his upcoming fight against Sherman Williams and talk about what's going on with him. So lots to get to today and a lot of time to get to. Not enough time to get to it, but we'll try to get to all of it. Tomorrow, you know, the NFL season starting on Thursday, actually, but with the Saints beating the Vikings again, and Brett Favre looking a little bit like his age, 40, and also a guy who didn't play that well, Brett Favre, but again, it's only game one. The guy did miss a full training camp, so hopefully, if you're a Brett Favre fan or a Minnesota Vikings fan, he will get back on track. But looking at tomorrow's games and a lot of good ones, and I promised everyone that I would give my Super Bowl prediction. And right now, my Super Bowl prediction, the way I'm looking at it and the way things are going in my head, I'm looking at the Cincinnati Bengals as a team that I believe will come out to AFC, as a team that added T.O. in the offseason, a team that added the tight end, Jermaine Gresham, who the rookie tight end, who I like a lot, who I was very impressed by. And, you know, they still have Cedric Benson. They still have Carson Palmer. And Carson Palmer, I expect to have a better year. So this is a team with a lot of pieces and a lot of players. And I expect them to do it, man. I really do. I just have a feeling about this ball club of, just have a feeling that this team is a team that is ready to take that next step. I mean, they were 10-6 in their division, 10-6 in their last year, and won their division. They lost to the Jets in the wild card round. But I think it's a different team now. I really do, and I think the addition of T.O. and the addition of Gresham, as well as that defense, is a good defense. They have a good corners and Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph, and also Ray Maluga, the linebacker. He was a rookie last year, but this year I expect big things out of him. So you have some decent pieces and decent guys there in Cincinnati, and I believe this is a team that will come out to AFC and will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I really do. And the NFC, I look at it as right now, it won't be the Vikings. I don't think it'll be the Saints either. I'm expecting some other team to step up, and I think that's going to be the Green Bay Packers. They're a team, I believe, with Aaron Rodgers, who is poised to take that next step and get his team to that next level, and that's to the Super Bowl. And it's a team that defensively is solid, and also with Aaron Rodgers, who arguably is one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and at least a top 10, if not top 5 quarterback. So I believe they're going to take the next step and also get to the Super Bowl. I really do, and I believe that. So right now, the way I see it, and it's still, the season hasn't started. Well, the season did start on Wednesday, but Thursday, excuse me. But the real, a lot of the games haven't been played. So the way I see it is, I like the Bengals and the Packers in this Super Bowl coming up. I like those two teams in the Super Bowl. And I think your Cincinnati Bengals may be your Super Bowl champions for this upcoming season. So I like the Bengals to win the Super Bowl and win it all. I know big game here for those in the Philadelphia area. You got Kevin Cobb. The Kevin Cobb era will get started tomorrow against the Packers. The Kevin Cobb era, I think it's going to get off to a slow start. I just really don't see this team schedule-wise. The schedule is just murder. I mean, you got the Colts on the schedule. You got the Vikings on the schedule. You got the Packers on the schedule. I mean, you got a lot of good teams on this schedule. And if you're an Eagle fan, which I am, again, you heard me all year begging them to keep McNabb, but he's gone. It's done deal. Issue's dead in a lot of ways. But if you look at it, this is a team schedule-wise that you got the Packers on that schedule, like I said before. You got the Falcons, Colts, Titans, the Bears, who I think will be an improved team, the Texans, who I think will be an improved team. So, and that doesn't even include the division, which, of course, is the Cowboys, Giants, the Redskins. And, of course, with the Redskins, that's a team that they, I believe, will they'll lose to the Redskins. They're going to lose at least once to the Redskins. That's a team they swept last year. So they're going to lose at least once to the Redskins, if not twice. And I'm expecting big things out of my boy Donovan in Washington. Don't let me down, Donovan. Don't let me down. I got a bet with our usual co-host, Jeremy Espy. He likes Kevin Cobb and believes that Kevin Cobb will have a better year than Donovan. I don't think it will happen. I think Donovan will have a better statistical year, and his team will have a better record. I think the Redskins are going to make the playoffs as a wild card. I don't think they'll win the division, but I think they'll make the playoffs as a wild card. Actually, you know what? I think they'll win the division. Let me take that back. I have the Redskins winning the NFC East. So I think they're ready to take that next step, and Donovan's going to be the guy who's going to do it. Mike Shanahan, a lot to prove. Donovan McNabb, a lot to prove. As of right now, Albert Haynesworth is still on the roster, and in some respect, a lot to prove. So you've got a lot of guys on this roster, a lot to prove. Larry Johnson also on this roster, running back, a lot to prove. So all these guys that got a lot to prove tells me that, you know, guys usually who have something to prove usually try their darndest to prove it. And so I think that Washington Redskins with McNabb, with Shanahan, with these guys, all these guys have something to prove when they win the NFC East. So I expect Washington and Donovan McNabb, and I expect those boys to have a better year than the Philadelphia Eagles. I really do. And I expect McNabb to have a better year than Cobb. But it's, you know, ultimately it's not, it doesn't come down to McNabb and Cobb at the end of the day. It comes down to their teams. And I just think the Eagles, with their schedule, is going to have a hard time. They're not going to win 11 games like they won last year. I expect them to win maybe 7 games at the most. 7 to 8 games at the most. 8 games at the most I expect this team to win. So let me know what you think, and that's what I think. That's what I think. But, we're expected to be joined by, in the next couple of minutes, by Nassim Richardson, a trainer for Shane Mosley. Shane prepares to face Sergio Mora September 18th, L.A., Staples Center, HBO pay-per-view, actually next Saturday. So that's going to be a big fight for Shane, and Shane's coming back to the 154-pound division. So his last time at 154 was against Ricardo Mayorga in a fight that some said he struggled a little. Wasn't his best performance, but he did end up getting a knockout against Mayorga. So, I mean, Shane's going back to 154, and should be interesting to see what Shane does at 154, and I'm excited to see it, and I'm excited to talk about it. We're now being joined by Shane Mosley, lead trainer, Nassim Richardson. Nassim?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm holding on with both hands. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, Nassim, before we get to the fight, I want to talk about you for a moment, because you're a guy who 3 years ago suffered a stroke, and a stroke that doctors believe would leave you partially paralyzed. But you made it back. How'd you do it?
I was blessed by the best, man. I'm a religious man, and I believe that God is the reason why we are here. So I feel like he has some more for me to do. But, you know, like I say, when God calls, you don't put him on hold.
Right.
So apparently he wasn't ready for me. So I was blessed.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I've been blessed. And so I try to, I seek refuge in that, and I work behind that daily.
Now, at any point during your comeback, did you say to yourself, "Man, I can't do this. I don't think I'm gonna get back." Did you ever doubt yourself at any point?
No. It's sad because I was almost a little offended because my family members were like, you know, we never doubted that you'd come back, even when the doctors were telling them things. You know, they were like, we weren't listening to them, but we just kept telling them. Y'all don't know Nazem.
Right.
You know, y'all don't know Nazem. So even they were like, you know, when I finally was conscious again, and they were saying I'd never walk again and things like that. And at night, in my room, each night I would work on my walking ability. And when they came to teach me how to walk, I walked down to the recovery room. And when they were supposed to come to pick me up in a wheelchair to teach me how to walk, I walked down to the room for the therapy.
Wow.
I was blessed. You know what I mean? You know, I hear people say it, you know, it's the inner strength and all that. You know, bottom line, man, you know, God is in charge of all these things. I'm a firm believer that what God has for you, nobody can keep you from getting it. And what God doesn't have for you, nobody can help you get it. So there's no reason to turn away from God.
Right. Now, we watched you on 24/7 leading up to the Mayweather fight, and I saw you swinging the towel. What's the story behind the towel?
They wanted to make a story behind it. You know, it's odd because I see kids that came up in the amateurs. Kids like Jermaine Taylor, Ricardo Williams, and these kids that grew up in the amateurs with my sons and them. And they're like, the things they were watching everybody else just starting to talk about, they was like, man, Nazem been doing that since we can remember. I got in the habit of carrying the towel when I was a teenager, and I'm trying to tell, my friends used to look through the scrapbooks and try to find me a picture of me without the towel. But it just was always a thing that I would reach out in the gym and target the kids and keep them sharp, because you know a guy started hitting on the heavy bag, and they get so caught up in just what they're doing to the heavy bag, they just see them in the ring and they forget that something can come back.
Right.
You know, but I just used to try to keep them honest, you know. And then when I started using it with guys like Bernard Hopkins, and it just became a part of what I do, you know. But there's a kid that's coming up now in the pros, that's 8-0, my little cousin, Carl Dargan. He's one of the reasons, him and one of my sons are one of the reasons I really started using the towel a lot in the gym. Because when I use the pads and you reach out to touch the guy, when they make a mistake, they were so fast. Even when they made a mistake, I couldn't touch them, you know.
Right.
So I started using the towel, you know. But then when we were 24/7, they like, we want to do a story behind it. I said, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, but, you know.
Speaking of 24/7, did you get tired of the cameras at any point during the whole thing?
I told the guys, and I didn't want them offended, I told the actual camera crew, I said, I like your show. I said, but I didn't even really want to do the 24/7 thing with the athlete. But I told them, I actually like the show, I said, and I like the way y'all put it together, you know. I said, but I didn't care for it myself, you know, far as actually, you know, going into the job. And that's pretty much because I'm just a private kind of dude. And so I wasn't a big favorite of it. And the thing about it is, I felt like they didn't even show some of the greatest aspects of Sugar Shane Mosley. 24/7 would show Sugar Shane Mosley. They went down the hill with him one day when his kids were playing baseball. If they would have showed Chickasaw Mosley with his kids, Chickasaw Mosley would have got a television show out of it. They'd have branched off and made a reality show about the Mosleys.
Mm-hmm.
When you see his little daughter, Mimi, he's got a rope in his gym that you can you strengthen by climbing up the rope like they have in the gyms in the high schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, his little daughter, Mimi, and I know she can't be no more than six. I don't even think she's six. And she comes up to my knee good. She's so teeny. She flies up that rope. She's got the rest. None of the boys, nobody can fly. She flies up that rope and never changes that expression on her face. And it's just, like I said, if you just saw him interact with his kids doing handsprings out there in on the baseball field with his sons and daughters, like I said, I didn't even think they got the best aspect of him when they showed the show. Just because Dane's a reserved guy.
Right.
Television is for show off.
Right, and very much so.
And Shane's not a show off.
And then it was perfect, actually, for Floyd Mayweather in 24/7. But your first fight with Mosley was against Antonio Margarito, and you were the guy who noticed that his Margarito's raps didn't look right. Now, you got a guy like Margarito now who's scheduled to fight Pacquiao, and many believe that the guy shouldn't be able to fight again. Do you think Margarito should be able to fight again?
I've been asked this question several times, and I have to answer it as honest as I can. And I'll start by asking you a question. Do you have children?
Yes.
Okay.
Two of them.
So you relate to this, and a lot of people will. If you have a daughter or a son, and the drunk driver almost ran over your child, came very close to run over your child, and now they arrest him. Now, there's some day that he should be allowed out of jail because he didn't actually run over your child, but he almost ran over your child.
Mm-hmm.
Deserves to get back out of jail someday. But they can't ask you when he gets back out of jail.
Right.
Because as far as you're concerned, shit, you're not going to let him out no time soon because you feel like eventually he can run over somebody's child. So you'll be biased. So that's why I say to be fair to Margarito, every man deserves to make a living. And it's unfair for my bias to really state my opinion. Because my opinion, if you almost did something to my people, you know what I mean, that's enough for me.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I might ban you, but that may not be fair for a man who has to make a living and who made a mistake.
Right. Now, in that fight, Shane dominated Margarito. Did you expect that?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, when I found the hand wraps, it was bittersweet because I thought, wow, now they're not going to get a chance to see what we worked on. Because I thought the fight was over. I thought they were going to knock Margarito up. Honestly, I really did. I wouldn't release the hand wraps to nobody but Shane's lawyer. Because I didn't want y'all to open up the box a week later and two cotton balls fall out.
Right, right.
I mean, so I didn't know who to turn to, so I felt like, hey, I'm going to turn to Shane's lawyer and give him that responsibility. So I'll turn to Judge Burstein.
Now, this might not be a fair question to you, but do you think he's done it in previous fights?
I find it hard to believe that you would take a gamble of that magnitude at that point, had you not seen it done before or been able to get past with it before. You know what I mean? So I find that not to put a black guy on the commission. Because, see, I think it's a black guy on all of us in boxing. I'm not one for that pointing at the other guy and bad-mouthing because if we're all under the same umbrella, you know, if I constantly call the guy across the room an idiot, then why am I even competing against the idiot? What's that make me? You know, so I'm pretty, you know, I remember the time we went through whenever you told anybody that you was associated with boxing, they would say, oh, you don't teach your guys to bite ears off, do you? Man, you were so sick of hearing that. You know, he's an athlete who's done some of the greatest performances in boxing history, but he'll forever be linked to a moment of we lost control.
Insanity. Right, a moment of insanity.
Yeah, so I hate to assume that there are fighters doing things of that magnitude, you know, putting things in the air. Our sport can be brutal enough when it's followed by the rules. When the rules are not in play, you know what I mean? I mean, like I said, you heard me say how impressed I am with Shane when I watch him interact with his children. Can you imagine me having to sit there in the hospital and watching them, those little babies come to see him because some guy done busted him up and banged him all up with an illegal substance? You know,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that would have did damage to all of us. Because mentally, I would have been so messed up for watching that happen to my athlete that I might not have been right with my grandson in anything, because I'd have never mentally probably been the same person. So he did damage to more than one family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I pray it didn't happen before, but it'd be hard for me to believe that it didn't.
Right. We're talking about Vin Richardson, Shane Mosley's trainer, as Mosley gets ready for his upcoming fight next Saturday on HBO pay-per-view against Sergio Moro. Now, Jim, I want to go to the Mayweather fight for a second now. You were quoted on 24/7 as saying that Shane is going to come out and hit Floyd in the mouth, and Floyd's going to sprout a tail, grow wings, draw fangs and claws, and turn into a dragon in the ring and start spitting fireballs. Were you surprised that Shane, knowing what you knew and what you said, were you surprised that Shane didn't react a little better to what Mayweather was doing?
Well, the thing is, you know, when I got an understanding of what all was going on with Shane, I wasn't that surprised. As a matter of fact, and like I said, I won't make excuses for him, but as a matter of fact, some of the things that have happened to Shane leading up to that fight, and even what took place would probably play the part with having him in the ring. Shane, some time. I love this dude, so I want to get this question right, and let people understand what I'm saying. I want people thinking I'm falling out on him. I love Shane Mosley because he's a tremendous human being who just happens to know how to fight his butt off. And at the end of the day, this world comes down to more than just our ability in the ring. You know what I mean? I see guys that have millions of dollars, phenomenal talent, and if I was the parent, I'd be embarrassed. You know what I mean? So this world makes comprise of more than just what we can do in the ring. You know, just I can catch a football don't mean I can go around pissing on people's toes. But Shane Mosley is a credit to his family, to his race, and to this sport. You know what I mean? The thing about him is that he is sometimes almost too tough for his own good. Did you happen to catch the Shaquille O'Neal exhibition he had when he boxed Shaq?
I saw that.
Did you see when they did the interview and they were doing the negotiations? And Shaq said, you know Shane, okay. Yeah, Shaq wanted to favor gloves that he could wear opposers, gloves they were poser with. Shane said, okay. They wanted the rounds to favor Shaq because he knew he was going to get tired in the last round. They went to shorten up the last round. Shane said, okay. See, Shane's not a negotiator. Shane's not going to hoot and holler and cry about, well, the other fighter better do this, and I need that, and I better walk first, and I better have that, and I better this. Shane's not that guy. Shane's like, okay, let's fight. So some of the things that people were looking for in the Margarita fight, when they were talking about Shane getting divorced and things of that nature, they didn't realize some of those things didn't surface until the Mayweather fight, actually. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that he was dealing with at the time right before he walked in the room, and it's ironic that some of it happened, right as the day before he walked in the ring, you serve him with something. Talking about you're going to take everything from his life. You know what I mean? And that's literally...
We in a business
where I can't say, I can't speak on it for certain, but we in a business where I can't assume that things happen coincidentally. I cannot assume that in this business that we're in. We're in a business where the dollars are heavy. I'm not going to assume anything's an accident or just coincidentally. You know what I mean? So the day before you go to the radio show, the biggest radio show of your life, somebody walks up to you and said, hey, you know, all the things you've earned from your radio shows all your life, we're going to take more than half of it. The day before you went to the biggest show, all of these mental things, like I say, prove that God is sometimes it's too tough. Sometimes you go to say, hey, man, listen, I got to sit down 18 months, 16 months before I fight. That's too much, man. You got to take a fight in between here. But you get a guy that's so tough. And look at this guy. After the Mayweather fight, you coming back to fight a middleweight?
Right.
An awkward, talented, tough-as-nails middleweight, and you're going to get no credit for it. If you go out there and crack more in the mouth with the first hook and knock him dead, there are people in the public going to say, you knocked out who?
That's true.
Those of us in boxing know. Sergio Moore, I know, is a beast. I know him since he was an amateur. He's a beast. And the thing is, I know about Sergio Moore, I don't even think y'all have seen the best Sergio Moore. Y'all haven't seen him at his best, in my opinion. This kid is a monster, man. And he's never gotten the credit.
He's a guy who beat the late Vernon Forrest.
Who was a middleweight. I worked in the gym with Vernon. Vernon is a middleweight. And he beat Vernon. And Vernon was a middleweight who can punch. But Shane does things the tough way. He's just gangster. And sometimes it works against him. You know, he agree to everything you do. See, you see the other guys negotiating. One guy says, hey, man, you do this when I say do it. And the other guy's like, no, I'm not doing that when you say do it. And he said, well, the public is missing out on the fight. Well, they're like, I don't give a damn because one won't budge and the other one won't budge. Because they both feel like that form of budging is a form of surrender of some sort. So they negotiate hard like that. You know what I mean? Shane won't negotiate hard. If you tell Shane to go in a fight, Shane literally will tell you, yeah, well, his mom can be one of the judges, but long as she's only one of the judges.
So it sounds like you're saying he's almost too nice for his own good sometimes.
Too nice. You've met him, and the world has seen the guy. The world has seen him, and you met him, man. Like I said, he's vicious. He can be a monster in the ring, and there is no human being that's going to step in the ring. Shaquille O'Neal got hurt in that exhibition. There's no human being that's going to step in the ring with Shane Mosley and not get hurt. I don't care who you, but if you put Klitschko in there to go five rounds with Shane Mosley, at some point in time, I promise you, Klitschko going to tell you, I can take it. Klitschko going to say he can take it, but Klitschko going to tell you, I got hurt in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Joker did him. He's just that dude, man. And I've said that. Great fighters have a tendency to mislead you.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd Mayweather misleads the public because he talks so much garbage that you don't believe he really trains like he trains. He's a phenomenal athlete. This guy trains like a beast. If you ever see Floyd Mayweather sit on a stool in the eighth or ninth round, he's not even breathing hard. No matter how you try to push him. He's that kind of athlete. But he misleads you because we know trash talkers not to be solid. So he misleads you by trash talking. Because your mind settles. We love to be, those of us been on the planet long, a guy that talks trash, we actually get comfortable with. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean?
Usually the loudest in the room is the softest in the room.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the misdirection. If you ever watch Bernard Hopkins, you think prison, you think jail, you think hardcore, tough guy, and he's a pure technician.
Right.
He's a pure enough technician. You're looking for this guy to tuck his chin and just start wailing off, and this guy's a technician. He'll pick you apart, man. He'll see a shot and won't throw it to the eighth. He won't throw it to the eighth round. If you see Pacquiao, they convince y'all that Pacquiao is 4 inches tall and weighs 37 pounds. All we leading up to a Pacquiao fight, all they tell you about is how small he was. Oh,
right.
He started 106, he started, so we were all under 106 at one time. Wasn't no 106 babies born. So all of us was, yeah, I'm almost 300 pounds. I was under 106 at one time. Yeah, I remember Pacquiao was once under 106. No matter what he was, he's a junior middleweight now who makes welterweight. You know, I mean, kid, what he was, he's a solid dude. What you misled? Shane Mosley and Oscar De La Hoya. Shane Mosley and Oscar De La Hoya, they smile. You think they're trying to sell you some insurance or something. They're so nice, you never think they were that ferocious in the ring.
Well, you see the pretty hair and you need the soft-spokenness and you think that those guys don't have another side, but obviously when they step in the ring, there is another side to these two.
And Sergio Moore is coming along in that same cloth. He's in the young stage of that same cloth. You look at Sergio, you look at his record, you don't see punching power. And I can't say this for a fact, but my understanding of boxing and watching fighters for years, I'm willing to bet you that most guys are getting there with Sergio for the first time, they come to find out that he's probably one of the strongest fighters they've ever faced in their life. But that's why the Latin is snake. You see him wrap up guys in the ring, and he looks like a boa constrictor when he grabs some dudes around their arms or whatnot. By the time he finished it, we running them, underestimating him the first time. By the time he wraps you up and grabs you, you know what I mean, you're dead tired. But it's all the wrestling.
Now, Shane's going up to 154. Is he planning to stay at 154, or is he going to go back to 147 after this fight?
Shane takes those options. A 47 will call Shane out, and Shane will come back down to 47 and fight. We have seen Hagler, Leonard, Duran, and Hearns. We've seen it. To make your generation strong, you need Foreman, Norton, Ali, and Frazier. That's always been needed throughout boxing, and there's always going to be that in that circle, because we know that Duran can beat Leonard. Then we can watch Hagler beat Duran. So we assume Hagler can beat Leonard. And then a guy like Leonard will come back and beat Hagler, because that's what it is. So the world is still going to see Pacquiao against Shane Mosley. They're just going to want to see it. And if you poll the people, probably tell you, we'd rather see Sugar Shane Mosley and Pacquiao than to actually see Mayweather and Pacquiao. Because,
well,
you know what?
It'll be a more interesting fight.
You might be seeing the second coming of Hearns and Agler in that fight.
Right.
If you're going to see two guys, it's going to get one.
Looking at Shane now, is there any concern that, you know, many believe that he struggled at his last time at 154 against Ricardo Mayorga? Is Shane a different guy now than he was then?
Well, it's everything in what we do and where we're based. So we know he grew. Yeah, we know he grew as an athlete. So just a second. Yeah, so we knew he grew, but him and junior middleweight, like I said, I'll even argue with Shane about this. Bottom line is a welterweight fighting a middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
The weight advantage is totally in Morris' corner. He has the height and the length of a middleweight. Go ahead.
We're talking to Nazem Richardson, trainer for Shane Mosley. Mosley's upcoming fight next Saturday, September 18th, HBO pay-per-view. Now, you talked about how tough Mora is, and Shane has never lost to a Mexican fighter. We got to get your prediction, Nazem. Will it change on September 18th?
My thing is with Shane Mosley is I told you earlier in the interview, that Shane is a very proud athlete. And like I said, September 18th, Shane has always been proud of his following and his supporters, as far as his family, as far as his fans. And Shane feels like he owes them something, and he seek to give that back to them when he steps back in there September 18th. As just like Sergio Moore is going to be fighting, it's going to be the bicentennial of Mexico's independence, and he's going to be fighting on that behalf. But has a strong Mexican following too in the fan contingent, and like I said, he's going to do his best to make his believers, you know, believe again. And most people, like I said, the support. In my travels, I'm not taking anything away from Mayweather, but in my travels, I hear more about the second round than I hear about the Mayweather fight.
Right.
Because on Shane's worst night, he still gave the fan base their money's worth at the fight. On his worst night, he still made you sad about your seat at some point in time in the fight. You know, that's just the guy that he is.
Now, real quickly, Nazem, has Bernard started training for his upcoming fight in December against John Pascal?
Bernard is always training. Bernard is always training. If there's a fighter in his weight class, Bernard starts training. You know, like I said, Bernard is that's a hard train to pull off the tracks, man. That joke there, man. So yeah, you know, Pascal's in his flights now. So somewhere down the road, we should see that collision.
Now, Nazem, we want to thank you for stopping by, sir. The fight will take place September 18th, Mexican Bicentennial Weekend. The show is called 200 Celebrate and Dominate and will be televised on HBO pay-per-view. Nazem, we thank you for stopping by and talking about this fight, sir, and we'd love to have you on again.
Well, I appreciate you guys got my number, and I appreciate you having me. And thank you, listeners, for their attention. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you, sir.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
All right. Nazem Richardson, trainer, Shane Mosley, Bernard Hopkins. So that fight is September 18th, HBO pay-per-view, and that should be an exciting time. And we're now joined by four-time heavyweight champion, Evander Holyfield. Evander?
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
It's good to have you on the show. Now, Evander, you're a guy now, 47 years old, and I look at your body, and I see a 21-year-old. Evander, I'm a guy who's trying to lose a little weight myself. What's the secret? How do you stay in such great shape?
Well, it's easy to maintain than to rebuild. And so, you know, one of the things, if you don't allow yourself to get out of shape, you don't have to work hard to maintain.
And so you're a guy who throughout, when there's not a fight, you're a guy who's in the ring still training and still staying in good shape.
Well, no, it's mainly it's kind of lifestyle. You know, with me, I'm an exerciser. I may not do the vigorous training that I would do in boxing, but, I like running. So, you know, I know I can take a 45-minute jog and, you know, but take my time and not, you know, kind of competitive. If I got to run faster or something, the only thing I had to do is just make sure I do it. And, you know, do 45 minutes and like run into music and things like that. And, I have kids and stuff and I do things with them because I pretty much have to show them how to do certain things and stuff like that. So which end up that I'm actually working out.
Right. Now, Evander, when you face Sherman Williams November 5th and at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, you would be 48 years old at that time. Now, talk about your style in the past and your prime, and talk about your style now.
Well, okay, as a kid, you know, I had to always had to outwork my opponent because, you know, I always gave up side difference all the time. But, you know, my mother used to always tell me that it's up to you to let somebody outwork you. So I guess at that point in time in my whole life, I just always just applied myself to outwork people and it became the way my career was established. But now when you got older and you have knowledge on your side more so than the youth. And so, you know, you just have to outthink people. So you're at some point in time you have to change game. And so now, you know, I'm a wiser person and I have to be smart enough to how to, you know, because the difference is that when you're older, it takes more time to recover. Mm-hmm. But for faith-wise, your faith is a lot stronger and you have to make less mistakes and be able to capitalize on your opponent's mistakes. So, I would be able to do that and that's what allowed me to stay in the game now and allow me to believe that I could be an undisputed heavyweight champion of the world again.
Now, speaking of that, you've been talking that you want and your goal is to be the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And you're 48, you'll be 48 when this fight happens in November. How long will you stay in the game to achieve that goal?
Well, I don't know. Because, I take one day at a time and I don't, do what a lot of other people do. They think about how quick something's going to be and all that. You make more mistakes when you put unnecessary pressure on yourself. You take one fight at a time. Of course, if I fall, I fight again and don't believe that I can go to the next next fight, then I won't do the next fight. But I take one fight at a time, man. But I believe if I continue to take one step at a time, and that then I don't put that much pressure on myself that allow me to try to do something that I don't think I could do stop. You know, either way it go, when you put unnecessary pressure on yourself, you ain't doing them pressure yourself. You don't have to do that. Take one day at a time. Tomorrow is not promised to you, but you just take, you hope for tomorrow, and tomorrow comes, you ready.
Right. And now, speaking of your last fight was against Francois Botha, a guy you stopped in the eighth round. Got to a slow start, but you finished strong. What made you effective in that fight?
Well, you know, I was able to overcome the things that, a lot of things that people didn't know. Yeah, a week before that fight, when I was in Vegas, I rolled an ankle, twist my ankle, and you know, I had to fight a different fight, and I was able to fight that different fight, and I was able to come up with a victory. And so, you know, I'm thankful that you know, I did what's necessary, because I could have just walked away from that fight and said, you know, but so many fights has been canceled because of the difficulties, and I just realized is, if I keep telling people I'm going to fight and they keep getting fights, something keep happening, not on my behalf, but just things that keep happening, the fight don't come through. People get to thinking that this guy just saying that he's going to do something that he's not going to do. He's not coming back. So it was very important for me to go ahead and take that fight and make the best of it. And I won, and now I'm the five-time heavyweight champion of the world, you know. WBF, and a lot of people said, what is that? And I said, well, but you know, that's a belt that I won to start off, but now if I continue, I hopefully next year be able to get the WBA or the IBF or the WBC, you know, but it's just one more step that I'm taking.
Now, Levander, fair or unfair, you've been criticized by many for continuing to fight on. Is this about winning belts, or as some would say, is it about the money?
Well, it's you know, it's about neither one of them, but in the process of me doing what I said I was going to do, it gonna help both of the things that you said. You know, it's not really about belts, but I was a person as a kid that was showing to show you that life is about finishing. If you finish, then you will ultimately get what you really wanted to be. My goals has been from the time I started boxing to be the very best I could be. And to be the very best you be, you have to retire. You got to retire what you say you're going to, you set your plans out to be. And at the end of the rainbow, I wanted to be the undisputed heavyweight champ of the world. And I became the undisputed heavyweight champ of the world in 1990. October 25th against Buster Douglas. I lost against Reddy Bowe in 1992. I came back and beat Reddy Bowe in 1993, but he gave one of the belts up, which was the WBC belt, and I'd never been able to get all three of them back again, and it have taken all this time for me to, I got close in 1999 with Lennox Lewis, and they gave him a unanimous decision. And like I told him, I get back in line. And so I'm still in line, and it's taken all this time. But anything worth having is worth waiting for. It took me 20 years to become the heavyweight champ of the world, and I was told that I could be the heavyweight champ of the world when I was 8 years old and only weighed 65 pounds. So it lets you know that if you believe, you can receive it.
Now, Vander, you're a guy that one of your greatest attributes is you never quit. But at some point, are some things in life not meant to be? I know you're a guy that likes to finish what he wants to do, but at some point in life, is some things not meant to be?
Well, that's what they say, but you got to ask yourself, what is that? It's some things like, If it was you that said that you gonna do this and you never had in a boxing lesson, then I may say myself, I don't know you should be doing that. I'm telling you, you know, you're host of this show, and you do a great job. And it was almost like saying, I'm going to be better than you. You may tell me, holy, that ain't meant to be. That ain't what you do. And I would say, you know, you're right, because this ain't nothing that I have did some, no more than somebody told me. But I'm sure that you have to have some kind of goal in your life to allow you to be who you are. And there's always somebody saying, man, do you not know that your chance of being that is not great? But I came from the ghetto. I came from the ghetto, and I was told I wasn't going to be good at nothing. But I had a mama who told me, she said, son, you know, you don't need to try to be good at 1,000 things. Find one thing to master. If you master it, then you could be the very best. And my whole life been brought up in that singular thing. I found boxing and, you know, didn't particularly like it a lot because I thought about all the things that could happen and had so many people telling me you'll get your teeth knocked out, you can get this. Everything that these people did to try to discourage me, but, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in fear not. You know, it's God who we love, and you love him and you pray and go out and do your very best and make the adjustments when you make the mistakes. Of course, you know, out of all the fighters that ever fought that were considered great, as a heavyweight, I have more setbacks than them, so I have a lot of setbacks, but I've been the champion more times than they've been too, because I didn't quit, and I was able to make the adjustment. And I just know part of life is that you're going to make mistakes, but the big part of it, you can correct them if you want to. So I choose to correct them.
And now, speaking of the top of the heavyweight division are the Klitschko brothers, Vladimir and Vitaly Klitschko. What can you do that others have not done in the past?
Well, you know, the big thing of these guys, they have very good amateur careers. They know how to box. They know how to make the adjustments. They big guys, and they use their size real well. And they just so happen to have good coaches, especially Emmanuel Stewart. Emmanuel Stewart is the reason why he a big part of the reason why these guys held on to the title now, because he didn't do nothing but change one thing in their life. And that one thing that he did, he told them, hold. When you get close and you get hit with a hard shot, hold. And to go, I remember the time these guys went hold you. When if you catch them, they would just try to go defense. And eventually you catch them even they go in defense. Now they hold you, and the referee let them hold, which is to their advantage. If somebody bigger than you and they grab you and hold you, then you can't hit them no more. But that's what Emmanuel brought to them. But for skill-wise and stuff like this, they're good fighters, but, I don't want to tell you what the things that I know that they flaw, because I know somebody listening. Somebody going to tell them.
I won't tell.
I know, but yeah, all them people who listen to this show, they going to say, you know what, you're absolutely right. I think I take that myself. So, you know, when you live as long as I, you study fights, and there's nobody out there who stay there forever. Because you know what? Because you got experts that are picking apart and eventually show a person what would be to their advantage to how they can take you. And that's the reason why you have to give people credit who've been fighting for a long time and been able to stay there, because, you know, with the slow motion and all this, people watch the best. And so when people watch the best, they can make adjustments. They realize you got two legs and two hands just like them. How many things can you do when you're just punching? You throw uppercut, you throw the right hand up, all the different angles. You understand with the angles, but who can do it? Who can take the punch? And so it takes faith in being all that you can be.
And so now, Vander, you're fighting on November 5th against Sherman Williams, and at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan. Sherman Williams, a guy who won 9 out of his last 10 fights. Talk about what Williams brings to this fight.
You talk about what?
What Sherman Williams brings to this fight.
Well, with me, I don't too much, base things on my opponent. I have to base things, me doing all the things that I know I could do, and I feel that when I'm at my very best, there ain't nobody that I can't beat. So I have to put myself in a position where that I'm in shape enough and be able to make the adjustment that's necessary to stay in the fight. Because, the first thing I do, let myself down if I get to thinking about my opponent so much. Because, all of them got two hands and all of them can hit hard. And all of them tend to be bigger than I. But the whole big thing is that this world is not run by big people or small people. This world is run by people who apply what they know. And so if I can just apply what I know, then I know what I know can be more than what they know. And my win come by that.
Now, you talked about your faith and how your faith has led you throughout your whole career. Do you feel like, and this may not be a fair question, but do you feel like that this is almost your destiny to become undisputed champion again?
Yes, I do believe that, and all this is my choice, and it
right.
One of the most important things that a lot of times people don't realize on this earth, we've been given authority to make choices on this earth. We make what happens on this earth, and it's up to us. And so if we tend to let somebody come in our life and give us these conflicting decision about, oh, you can get hurt, you get this, what would this world be if we believe everything that people say? Because the part of the con game is to tell somebody, you can't do that. You put in a doubt in somebody's mind, it make it a little harder because they got that doubt in their mind. But we all have the right to have goals and set goals for ourselves. And some people going to believe it because everybody going to get tested because there's always going to be somebody that say you can't do it. And always going to be somebody that say you can. And somebody going to say you made it before you even made it. And if you believe that, then you don't work as hard as the person who feels that they got to work. And so in all these situations that, we as people, we challenge each other about our faith and knowing what we were called to do and know what we were trained to do and know what we choose to do. In all these situations, it's a decision that we make as human beings on this earth to be the very best that we could be, that the next generation will have something to strive for. If then nobody have nothing to strive for, we'll be a lot. Complacent people.
Now, is it almost God's will for you? Do you believe it's almost God's will for you to be the undisputed champion at some point?
I believe God give us a choice. He do give us a choice. He didn't say, Evander, you got to box. He don't say, Evander, you got to get up in the morning and run. But he said, whatever you do in love, you do it for the right reason. But I just feel that in being the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, it allowed the people to understand that God is still in the living business. He still blessed plans. If you got a plan, God will bless it if it's going to benefit people. And I realized that, of course, when I do this, I get to tell the people, I told you I was going to do it. Yeah, and because there's a lot of people in life don't become who they are because they let somebody else determine their destination to what they're supposed to be. We don't choose as people, nobody. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose our neighborhood. We don't choose our skin color. We don't choose our size. But that's the hand that we dealt with. And we have to learn how to appreciate the hand that we dealt with and make the very best of that. And so this is this is what it is, because, you know, one of the most important things in me believing that I could become who I am, it's like, I fought George Foreman was 45, and he 45 when I was 29. And so, and he made the distance. No, he was 42. He was 42 when he fought me. Then when he turned 45, 3 years after later, he didn't beat me, but he turned around and beat Michael Morse. He beat the guy who beat me. He beat the guy, I beat George, but then George turned around and beat the guy who beat me and became the oldest heavyweight champion of the world, because he just didn't quit. Now, everybody said it was pretty much stupid, but he was getting tore up the whole time. And all of a sudden, the guy, disrespect him, came a little too close and stayed there a little too long and got hit. And that was it. And he became the oldest heavyweight champion of the world. Now, he did that, and George was nearly in good a shape than I was, and he won it. I said, so you'll find that in life is somebody always doing something to inspire somebody to take it to the next level. And I think it's you know, people talk about where this country have come from. Now, if we look at all the technology, there's all these new technologies and all this, the cell phone and all this, and people have to say, oh, the technologies make this world better. Okay, then in the same technology that had transformed us for its communication and all this, then what have transformed us as people by health? Man, we got better products than we used to have. We got better equipment. Right. We got all this. And today, because of that equipment, my knees ain't messed up. Because of the different chiropractor and massages and all the different things that I do, now everybody want me to act like I'm back in the day, that I can't do that. I'm not hurt. My knees ain't hurt. What's the point of all the exams they make you go through to make sure that everything is right with you? All these things, they have made me do these things all my years of my whole life. And now they're going to say, well, that shouldn't allow you to be a fight now. Why wouldn't it? If everything is that would produce in life to make you have a better life, so that got to give you more shelf time. That give you more time. It's just like, you know, it's just like and football, you know, with Brad Park. I'm telling you, look, he older, he can do that now. But shoot, but people don't think about it. The equipment and all this that he have, he got better equipment than they used to have. And so, you know, if you got better things, better knowledge and all this, it's supposed to make your life longer. At 65, I'm going to still be young. I won't be boxing, but I'll be doing something with my life. And you better believe I won't be thinking about sitting down and like this. I just think I'm supposed to live more than 100 years because, you know what, I had a good life. And I have applied the knowledge that was here to be better.
Now, Vander, real quickly, the fight is November 15th at Detroit Joe Louis Arena. It will be on pay-per-view, correct?
No, it's going to be on, I think it's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on ESPN. We're going another route. You know, we feeding the kids for every person that's joining in this. We're going to feed five people because it's, and you know, the fight in Detroit is not just Evander fighting the fight, but Evander's fighting to help the hunger in Detroit. And so this is another way to get the people to understand that, okay, out of humanity, this is, I grew up in neighborhood just as Detroit, and
We got another 10 seconds, sir.
Okay, yeah, and without this, I wouldn't be who I am. So all this is going to not just help me, but, you know, help the the crisis that's going on in Detroit.
Now, Vander, we thank you for stopping by, sir. Good luck on your fight and in your career, sir. We would love to have you back again. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I want to thank Evander Holyfield. I want to thank my son Richardson for stopping by. I want to thank everybody for listening. See you next week on Go Forward. It was fun. Good times. We wish Evander Holyfield. We wish